Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Flashcast, an unofficial podcast of the CW's The Flash. I'm Steven Bueno.
Cristian Cabrera.
If you're new to the podcast, what we do is discuss every week's episode of The Flash. This week, we'll be talking about Season 2, Episode 10, Potential Energy. So, first we start off with Barry's Nightmare, which it set it up to make it seem like it was going to be, Patty and Barry, and it's all happy-go-lucky. And then it's a huge misdirect because all of a sudden Zoom comes out of nowhere, takes Patty, and pretty much like drops her from a building. And then you realize it's all Barry's nightmare. And you know what's funny? They haven't really, approached Barry's fear or talked about Barry's fear for the last couple of episodes, man.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot too. You know, I've realized a lot too. You say happy go lucky very often.
Yeah. it's my go-to term.
Yeah, it's crazy because the build up to that thing was very calm, very normal, and just out of nowhere seeing Zoom, it just instantly just throws the whole thing into turmoil. And that whole entire, you can see when they're going throughout the city and then they go to the tall building. That's pretty much, I saw that as a representation of Barry's trials and tribulations right there, as in that from him dropping Patty down, I have to go all the way down to go back up to actually beat Zoom.
That's true, man. He's got to go down there and save her, dude. Because after the midseason break, after Zoom breaks Barry's back, obviously there was this reservation of from Barry, because he was definitely afraid. He didn't think he could beat Zoom. And the last couple of episodes, they haven't really addressed that as much. I feel like this episode addresses it a whole lot more, in that it puts it front and center, man. Barry's still having huge, huge issues with what happened with Zoom. And to an extent, I don't think he believes that he can beat Zoom yet.
No, I don't think he can at this state right now. But that's the main thing, that also why Patty feels that he's a little kind of defensive the whole entire time, not really letting anybody in.
Yeah, and even when she, Patty has a couple of reservations, she talks to Iris about it, because Patty senses it, man. She can tell there's something bugging Barry. So she goes to Iris, who'd probably be the one that would know him best, ask her a bunch of questions, and, Iris pretty much tells her, yeah, he's guarded, man. He carries a lot of weight on his shoulders. Obviously, Iris knows why he's carrying that weight and can't really, communicate that to her, but just, I thought it was nice how Iris was kind of trying to help the situation, really trying to help Barry along. It just shows how supportive she is of this whole relationship.
Yeah, then it's also when they had that little talk, when was it Iris and Barry together, it showed that Barry really didn't want her to be involved in any of this. You can see by the way his reaction when she pretty much told him, I spoke to Patty, and she's like, whoa, my God, really? Why? You shouldn't have done that. And then that's when they got the whole idea that he eventually has to tell her that he's the Flash.
It's one of those things that I would love for Patty to know. And I've been a huge fan of the Patty character from the very first episode that she was on. And while I would like to see that kind of relationship evolve, it does make for a better story of, it's very Oliver Queen, in that he thinks, I need to be able to protect those I care about the most. But also, if I bring her into my inner circle, she's all of a sudden in danger, and she's going to be in constant danger. And because she's sort of the one he cares about the most at that point, she's going to be an easy target for Zoom. And him not letting her in sort of says look, I don't believe I can beat Zoom. I think even those actions tell his innermost fears, because if he wasn't so afraid, he would probably, let her know and keep her around and not be bothered so much by her, being so close to him. But I think that it all goes back to how he feels about Zoom.
Yeah, it's a huge burden to put upon someone else, especially if you're telling them a really deep secret like that. I remember, I think Felicity said it to Ollie one time too, when one of the episodes of The Arrow, it's the only way that you can actually will be happy is if you're alone. There's no way you can possibly happy unless you're by yourself the entire time. That's one representation right there of showing that, of keeping his pretty much a circle limited or to nothing at all, and to keep everyone safe.
And what's interesting is in The Flash, because the group is so big and there's so many different characters, it never really seems like Barry is ever trying to keep the group small. But this is one of those instances where you definitely see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty much him trying to come to terms with whether if he feels that that's necessary to pretty much have a relationship or not. And it's a really big thing. And especially throughout the comic books, too. Something always leads bad when you're in a relationship in most of those comic books. And honestly, it's one of the most common things that always occurs every time.
It's interesting that he's learning what it really takes to be a superhero, essentially, man, because it's all of these like little lessons that he's learning within the first season. He had difficult fights, don't get me wrong, but he seemed to overcome most of them, even like Yubar Thon. But this one, it's like, it seems like it's such a huge, huge hurdle to overcome. And, you know, at this point, it very much seems like he can't. And I love that sort of like three-dimensional character they've built up and that personality they built up for Barry. Mm-hmm. All right, so moving right along, we're going to talk about this week's villain, which was the turtle. Mm-hmm. And essentially it was just like an ultra thief that just stole from the rich.
Yeah, that he was known in the comic books, he's known as the slowest man on earth, which is a really good title to press on him.
And, you know, to an extent, I guess he is, man. Yeah. So, the turtle essentially, Cisco brings him up because Harrison Wells is obsessed with how to slow down Zoom and how to stop Zoom. And, you know, essentially he's obsessed with stopping Zoom, but he's really obsessed with taking Barry's speed. He's just hiding it behind the pretext of, you know, working against Zoom. And that's when Cisco tells him, hey, there's this case that I've been working on, or there's this like metahuman that I've, you know, kind of had in my back pocket, but it doesn't really, like, he didn't really come up till right now.
Yeah, the turtle, I like the footage that they show of him. It's pretty much, there's a room of people, boom, he just walks around the entire thing, but you notice everyone's still still, which is actually pretty hilarious. The whole entire time you just see him going right by, he's like, okay, cool, take that, that's mine, and he's gone instantly. And then lost everyone there, it's like, how does no one even know of this or have seen any records of it? Well, he uses that time to actually get rid of all the evidence that's there, destroys any cameras, all that stuff, gets rid of any files that's left on there from the actual time, which is actually pretty cool. He's actually one of those more smarter ones that he's pretty much has encountered.
You know, it's pretty cool to see a metahuman that could potentially kill Zoom, you know? He's definitely the best option, the best viable option, because they seem to not be able to do anything against Zoom. And, you know, if they can harness that sort of power, and that's essentially what most of the episode's about, is like, if they can harness that power, they can definitely stop Zoom. And one thing I did like about this episode a lot was when they say Zoom's origin or the name of Zoom's name, because Cisco makes a comment while they're staking out like a banquet that they feel like the turtle's going to be at. Cisco makes a comment to Harrison Wells. It's like, well, okay, Zoom's a kind of a dumb name. Like, how did you come up with that? Harrison Wells' story and that whole tone. And, you know, this season's Harrison Wells is this character that can sort of go back and forth from, he's usually pretty, like, he's brooding a lot, mm-hmm. but there's moments where it comes out and he's a little happy and he's a little hopeful for what's going to come. But obviously, after what happened in the last couple of episodes, he's just brooding the whole time. And the way he tells Cisco the story of how Zoom got his name and the police officer, and the Zoom goes back to kill the police officer, I was like, okay, this just adds to the legend, you know, the big, larger-than-life character that is Zoom.
It's ridiculous, that entire story. So it's pretty much a bunch of officers are there. He ends up killing them one at a time, but he leaves just one of them to tell everyone, this is someone killed us. And then as soon as he tells that story, he goes to his house and then he murders him and his family, which is ridiculous.
You know what? You know what that reminds me of? You ever watch Natural Born Killers by Oliver Stone?
I did watch it once. I don't remember very much.
That's
of it.
The Woody Harrelson's and
I forgot her name. I know
Julia Lewis. Their characters like go around killing people, mm-hmm. and one of the things they always do is they always leave someone alive to tell the story. So that's like instantly when that came up, it reminded me of that. Damn. So moving forward, we have this interesting exchange between Patty and Barry. So while when the turtle goes to steal the diamond that's at this banquet, you know, Patty's doing her, you know, she's doing her job. She's a police officer. She tries stopping him. And then Barry obviously leaves and comes back as a Flash, but he gets injured when he's trying to save Patty. So he has to be taken away. And it really does make it seem like things got tough and Barry just bailed. And I think that's when that's when Patty's really like, look, dude, what's the deal here? Are we gonna really be something? Is something gonna develop out of this, or what are you like? What are your intentions, essentially? And yeah. You know what sucks is that you can definitely tell that Barry wants to talk to her and Barry wants to tell her, but he has these reservations because, hey, man, like he could share this with her, but she could also die because of it. It's something very difficult for Barry to deal with. And like I said, I like when they introduce things like this and conflict like this because it just adds to the character and adds to another aspect of the character that we didn't know about before.
Yeah, it's really difficult for him. You can see it in his face every single time when you confront her. That's why he put out like a little small joke about it to try to like brush off all that. But yeah, he's pretty much putting her in danger as soon as he mentions the name The Flash to her. And that's the crazy part, though. Like, she gave him the choice, and it was funny, too. The joke that he says right afterwards is actually kind of made sense. It's like, well, you got to think about it and think about it fast. It's like, well, fast is my deal. Yeah. I was like, wow.
And, you know, there's another side story within the episode, and it's the story between Joe and Wally and how Joe's trying to reconnect with his son. And, you know, he seems very standoffish, and even when Joe gives him that tour of the precinct, there's that guy in the background that calls him, was it taillights?
Taillights.
And he's like, oh, no, I don't know the guy. Mm-hmm. But obviously it makes it seem like, huh, there's something going on with Wally. And sure enough, it turns out that Wally's been racing this whole time. And apparently he's really good at it, and Joe confronts him about it. But it doesn't really go too well, and it does show this, like, this bravado that Wally had that I don't think Joe and Iris realized. But at the same time, it's like, well, this guy is taking care of his family in the only way he knows how. And he didn't have anyone teaching him the ropes along the way, you know? It does make it seem like his mother was there for him, but he still had to be creative, you know?
Yeah, he had to find ways to try to essentially grow up in his own way. But the crazy part about it is the fact that, and it's been hinted every single time in the episode, especially when the captain came up to him, I was like, oh, your dad's like one of the best detectives. He's like, yeah, and kind of not really. That's why he's saying if he was a great detective, he would have figured out he had a son as well. But then that confrontation that they had too while the racing happens, it was pretty much telling him, like, well, I see you like racing, but you also realize it's illegal. It's like, well, you don't have to tell me that. Well, I can, because I'm a cop, so I can actually arrest you in the case this happens. So this is where he actually showing his dominance on him. But the fact is, like, he's, as soon as he did it, he realizes, like, damn, if I do that, and I'm going to end up losing him in a sec.
Like, it shows just how fragile and how much tension there is in that relationship. Well, I do genuinely think that Wally wants to have him in his life, but Joe kind of has to figure out how he fits into his life, mm-hmm. because for the longest time, he wasn't in it.
It's too big of a distraction. That's the only thing. That's what I see the whole entire time. And it's crazy that he's trying to suck up to Wally the whole entire time, and that's when Iris, I think, says, I think it's this episode or last episode where it goes, like, I don't know who this guy is that you're trying to be. Like, that's not you. Like, I don't know why you're trying to do that.
It makes for interesting interactions between Joe and Wally, because you don't ever see Joe in that role. You've always seen him this mentor role, and especially with, like, Barry and Iris. Mm-hmm. But moving right along, we get the turtle actually going after Patty because of what he saw at the banquet, and he mm-hmm. sees that the Flash went out of his way to save her. So he figures, okay, you're really important to him. So the turtle captures Patty and takes her to what looks like a warehouse. And while there, you know, the team obviously figures out where they are, and, you know, Barry goes and tries to save her, and essentially just, like, tackles the guy. Like, ultra tackles him with speed.
Yeah, the first try he did was just go straight at him full speed, see what happens. He gets caught, stopped, and he gets the crap beaten out of him. And then that's when he has an idea. He's like, well, I'll leave, come right back, regain a lot of speed, and then I'll push right through. And that's what ended up happening. He gets shoulder tackled. He ends up flying very far. If you think about it, that must have been a lot of freaking kinetic energy to do all that. It's ridiculous. And then,
yeah,
of course,
he had to have gotten hit pretty hard. So, you know, he gets captured and he's taken to Star Labs. And, you know, we'll talk about that more in a second. But first, we're going to go back a little bit to Patty and Barry. And, okay, so this whole And this is the part, because I like Patty as a character so much, and her telling Barry that she's leaving right when Barry's about to share that he's the Flash with her, or that he basically wants to, I guess, organize something where he's going to, like, eventually tell her and break the news to her.
Yeah.
And she gives him this, like, she sideswipes him with this news that, you know, she always wanted to be a forensic scientist, mm-hmm. and she, you know, postponed that to be a cop to stop Weather Wizard. And now that she's done that, she's like, well, now it's time to move on. And it was a very tragic line where he's like, from here? He's like, no, from everything.
Yeah, that was
pretty... Oh, man. You feel horrible for Barry because it's like, this guy's carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders. And then finally he decides, okay, I'm going to share this with you. I accept you in my life. And then she's like, okay, well, kind of leaving now.
Yeah, that was very heartbreaking. Like, when that happened, I was like, oh no, I knew this was going to happen. Anyways, this happens in the comic books too, but it's crazy that this actually does happen to him, like, straight from there. From the little perspective that you can see of him, you can tell he was devastated, like, instantly. He's like, now I can actually tell you what I wanted to tell you, but it's kind of too late now. And it's really, oh man, it's really bad in that situation.
You just have the most horrible timing, man.
Yeah, he's heartbroken very badly.
And then we go back to Star Labs, and you see Harrison Wells straight up just murder Turtle. Like, just, what is he, injects like something in his nose and takes out a bit of his brain to examine him?
Yeah.
That was brutal, man. I was not expecting that to
happen. No, I did not see that at all. I thought he was going to tell him something, to reason with him, but no, he just straight up kills him. It's ridiculous. It's like, whoa.
You kind of get the feeling that Harrison Wells is down to do whatever it is to save his daughter. You never thought he would just, like, straight up walk into a room and just kill a dude.
No.
This season's Harrison Wells is definitely, definitely interesting. While last season's Harrison Wells was obviously Yubar Thon and was definitely a villain that was just kind of doing things for his own purposes, this season's Harrison Wells is just a super determined man. You know, he's obviously trying to get his daughter back, but it just shows exactly how far he's willing to go and exactly how far Zoom can push someone.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that just because his daughter gets taken by Zoom, this is where he goes to from pretty much being just a dad, smart guy, to being a vicious murderer. / I'm trying to save somebody, he's whatever
ruthless,
it means.
Man. Yeah, and I like that character.
He's actually really great. That's the great thing about him. Like, he can go from being just like your buddy for a second, and then from being just a hard ass the entire time, doing stuff on his own, and then out of nowhere be like, you know what, nah, I'm gonna just do it this way. It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
And then right at the end of the episode, we get one of the coolest things. We see Yubar Thon pop into the past or the present or however, wherever he's popping out from. But we've seen that scene before where he pops into Barry's timeline and he's wondering where he is, and Gideon kind of tells him what's going on.
Yeah, that part is great. Like, that's pretty much showing you that he came from somewhere and now he's already here, and we have no idea what the hell he's going to do.
All right, guys, thank you for listening to this episode of The Flashcast. If you guys want to check out more of the stuff we got going on, head on over to filmbook.com, that's film-book.com, and search for either Steven Bueno or The Flashcast. If you guys are interested in checking out some of the stuff we do outside of Filmbook, you can check us out on YouTube by going to youtube.com/leagueofgents, that's G-E-N-T-S, or checking us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/leagueofordinarygents, G-E-N-T-S. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast services, go ahead and rate and review this episode. If you listen to this podcast on YouTube, go ahead and hit that thumbs up video and leave a comment in the comment section. We definitely want to hear from you guys.